Everybody, you know, God gave me so much this week. My problem has always been that I prioritize horizontally. I've got all these thoughts in my head, but I don't know how to put them 1, 2, 3, and 4. So if I skip all over, that's on me. That's not on our Lord. So somebody said to me this morning, what, do you have your step stool so people will be able to see you? And I'm going, I don't want people to see me anyway. I'd like to just get one of those big pictures of Jesus, put it up here in front of me, because that's who I want us to hear. I want us to hear Jesus. Let me see if I can get myself somehow a little bit. This all started. I asked Oscar if I could speak today because I was talking to Margaret one day, and I don't know, I was just so on fire. And I was thinking to myself how in the last 6 months, my life has changed so much. And it all began with becoming dissatisfied with what was happening in my life. Now, it wasn't big stuff, it was little stuff, but I was very involved in the government of this organization that I'm affiliated with, and I was on the board of directors, and I was the treasurer, and when I first started doing this job, like, and it's a volunteer job. About 3 years ago, I was just on top of the world. It was all in my wheelhouse, you know, this is what I do. I get to make suggestions and vote on things and handle money. Woohoo, you know? And so I was so enjoying it. And little by little, it became dissatisfying to me. And I felt like God was, well, I didn't feel like it. God was telling me everything has a season and there's a time to every purpose. And I think the time for this purpose is gone. Now, he didn't say these things to me in these precious words. This came to me because I started getting hard to get along with, right? I was grumbling and complaining. So however it happens, I was really getting sick and tired of counting all these single dollars, and I was getting sick and tired of doing all that I was doing, and I was beginning to have a resentment because anytime anything ever went wrong, call Kathy. The toilet overflowed. The door doesn't work. This doesn't work. We're out of coffee. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, you know what? Enough. So God, in his own way, let me know that the time for that was over. And the day that we found someone to take my place, well, just to brag a little bit, they needed 3 people to replace what I was doing. But I won't say that out loud into the air. But then I felt as free as a bird, and I felt like God had just, I mean, you know how you feel lighthearted and when a lot of responsibility is off of you, things that, you know, are weighing you down. And so it was right around that time that Rich in Sunday school, maybe 2 or 3 Sunday schools ago, right before he went on away for a week, he was talking about Jesus, and he said that Jesus, you know, we always talk about when we see him as he is, we will be like him, and how in those days, what was it that attracted people to Jesus? Because the scripture says, you know, there was nothing fantastically attractive about the man, you know, or that you would notice anything different about him than his fellows. So I got to thinking about myself, what was it about Jesus that attracted people to him so much? And I know I talked about this the last time in Sunday school that I spoke, and I found, I studied into it, and you know what it was that attracted people to Jesus? Because that's important to us to learn, because when we see him as he really is, that's when we're going to be like him. And I started looking up the way that he related to other people. And the man, Jesus, never gave judgment. The man, Jesus, never gave criticism. The man, Jesus, gave life. He gave life, and he gave forgiveness. The woman taken, this is in there, this is exactly the way it says, but I'm not going to go to all these scriptures because I went to them a couple of weeks ago. The woman taken in the very act of adultery. When I heard that, I thought, oh, that gave me shivers. Can you imagine what that would feel like? You know, you're in the act of adultery, and these people come and grab you and throw you into a, you know, and what did Jesus say? He said, my daughter, who are they that condemn you? Who are they that judge you? Neither do I judge you. Go and sin no more. You know? He always had a way of relating to people. It's going to be okay. I love you. I don't judge you. The Son of God, not to bring judgment to the world, you know, but that the world through him might be saved. So, so I got to looking at Isaiah chapter 43. This is kind of the way that God's been leading me this. Isaiah 43:19, it says, oh, I love this. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. You know, it's time to put all that old stuff behind us. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now, not tomorrow, now, it shall spring forth. It's springing forth. Shall ye not know it? I don't know. Shall we? Let's know it. Let's know this new thing. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Okay, so God told me he's going to do a new thing. And this is a new day. And you remember that song we used to sing? I'm going to try to sing it, but it goes high up, and if I start on the wrong, sing with me. It is a new thing that I do, and I will show it unto you, and I will take you by the hand. Fear not, for you shall understand. Former things have passed away. It is the dawn. Let's get it. The day. Rejoice, rejoice. Sing a new song. Oh, praise the Lord. That day has come. It's a new day. The former things have passed away. Now, what are the former things? Our old understanding. We all come from that religious background, you know. It's time for us to remember who we are. It's time for us to give up our mistaken identity. A new thing, it says here, I looked that up in the concordance, and it says, it's unheard of. Now, there are very few things that are so new that they have not, that they've been unheard of until this time. Well, let me tell you, the new thing that he's doing in this day has been unheard of until this day. It is new. It says that it's fresh of this year. That's like, I mean, you're not eating yesterday's bread or last month's bread. Or he's giving us new and fresh understanding of who we are. And he says, we're supposed to sing a new song. And there are six times in the Psalms, and that's about the only six times that the words new song is in the Old Testament. And not many times in the New Testament. But it says in Psalm 33, it's time to sing and shout for joy. Go ahead, all of you redeemed ones. Do it. I'm not reading very well today. I don't know what's wrong. Praise him with all you have. You know, back in the back recesses of my mind, for most of my life, I have been so happy to be one of God's redeemed ones. But it's only been in the last 3 or 4 months that there is no fear of eternity in me. I'm not afraid of it. Wow. I don't know what adventure God has, but I know he's good, and I know that our lives are eternal, and I know that I'm in him, and he's in me, and he's in God. We're all together in one. What in the world is there to fear? What in the world is there to fear? Nothing. Whatever, when it's my time to go, I want to say, come on, Lord, don't bring me a chariot, bring me a roller coaster, because we're going. We're going up and down, and wherever you take me, Lord, I'm going to go, and I'm going to go with such joy in my heart. I'm going to be where you tell me to be. I feel these days, since I let go of the burden of the former things, like I'm free as a bird. And sometimes I feel like he's saying to me in the morning, get up, and like Smith Wigglesworth, just get up and go sit on that park bench. I'm going to lead you. And every day I love to say, Lord, what adventure are we going on today? And has he been giving me adventures? I have, you know, when you purpose in your heart to give life to everyone you see, and to judge no man after the flesh. I mean, am I perfect in that? No. But it's the new desire of my heart to see Jesus as he is and to be just like him and to minister joy, to minister life, and to not minister the knowledge of good and evil. It's not my place. My place is to give joy. My place is to point to Jesus. My place is to minister life to everybody. Period. How hard is it? Well, let me tell you, sometimes it's hard. I had to make an apology to a friend because she came and told me the other day that she felt judgment from me. And I had to say, you know, that is not what, you know, sometimes the tone of my voice belies what my heart's trying to say. You know what I mean? Because I've got one of those voices, and I might still be even making excuses for myself. Maybe there was some judgment. Maybe there was some criticism. And she said, and there was no love in your voice. And I had to admit, you know, maybe that was true. But former thing, let it go, you know? And we both decided to, okay, we're going to go on from here. On to bigger and better things. When again, going back to Isaiah 43, it said something about springing forth. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. This is really cool because it says, It shall spring forth. When I looked that up, it said, to sprout forth, producing trees. We are trees of the Lord. To perceive, to acquire knowledge, this is neat. Includes the action of knowing both as commencing and as completed. That action of knowing both as commencing and being completed, what does that remind anybody of? He that has become a good, begun a new work in you shall complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. I don't know why I wrote this down, but I'm going to go find out. 1 John chapter 3. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth not because it knew him not. Beloved, now, right now, this very instant, we are the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, what we shall be. We're going to become, we're going to keep becoming and becoming and becoming and becoming until we become a full-grown, mature son of God. We know that when he shall appear, which means when he shall be made manifest, we shall be like him. Why? For we shall see him as he is. And that's what got me in this circle of, well, how is he? When he walked this earth, he was joyful. I can't even imagine what his personality must have been like, you know? He must have been a pretty good guy. He got 12 fishermen to follow him, you know? And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Let's see if I got anything else here. Oh, yeah. He was like us in all things, except his heart's cry was, I come to do thy will, O God. He said, I only say what I hear the Father say. Let's be like him. John 8:28. Let me see. Okay. You will know me as I am. Now, I don't think that he meant you'll know me as I am here on earth. I think he said, you're going to know me as the great I am. After you have lifted me up from the earth as the Son of Man. Then you will realize that I do nothing on my own initiative. But I only speak the truth that the Father has revealed to me. Pretty cool. What's this other one? That's what he wants us to do. I tell you, this is in John 14. I tell you this timeless truth. Oh, wait a minute. Where is this? John 14:10. Boy, I can't read. Okay. I tell you this timeless truth. The person who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles that I do. Wow. Even greater miracles because I go to be with the Father. For I will do whatever you ask me to do when you ask me in my name. Wow. Wow. John 16, 25. I have spoken to you using figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer teach you with veiled speech, but I will teach you about the Father with your eyes unveiled. And I will not need to ask the Father on your behalf, but you'll ask him directly because of your new relationship with me. For the Father deeply loves you because you love me, and because that I've come from God, I came to you, sent from the Father's presence, and I entered into the created world, and now I will leave this world and return to the Father's side. We have great things in store for us, guys. We have a new time. We have a new day. We have a new song. We have the same sweet, wonderful Savior that we've always had. Our understanding is broadening, and I believe that this has to do with the times that we live in. I think the time is right for us to understand, have our understanding opened just a crack or two more. Just a crack. I mean, not the full, but to understand who we are, why we're here, and what we're here for. And people are going to come to us when we see Jesus as he was. When we minister life, when we stop condemning, when we stop judging, wow, people are going to find themselves attracted to us. And through us, they're going to know the one true God who has come into this world that we can all be saved. That's all I've got, guys. And thanks for listening. It still was horizontally prioritized, but I'm going to quit now. Thank you. Father, in Jesus' name, take this simple word. It's just a simple word, but boy, has it been on my heart. It's just been on my heart to give life and to stop giving judgment. I ask you to bless all these ears that have heard. Help us, Father. Help us, Father, to walk in your ways. Amen.